The deep state is using the same tactics in Brazil that they've used in America to crush individual freedom, to overthrow our republican form of government, and ultimately to merge us all into this crazy one world system they think they're going to build. Stay tuned and I'll tell you more. Welcome everybody to another episode of Behind the Deep State. I am your friendly host, Alex Newman, senior editor at The New American Magazine. If you're not yet signed up to The New American, you need to be. Get over to the website, thenewamerican.com, sign up for the free headlines, and then subscribe to the print magazine. There's nothing else like it. It's amazing. In fact, I'll be talking about some of the content we've put out over the years that is so relevant to this. A lot of it, unfortunately, is behind a paywall, so only subscribers will get to read it. That breaks my heart, but We got to get the bills paid. We got to pay the writers. So it's just critical that we do things like that. But big things happening in Washington. Last week, actually, a whole delegation of Brazilians came to the United States, came to Washington, D.C., a lot of congressmen, senators, journalists, etc. And they basically sounded the alarm. They said that Brazilian president, wannabe dictator Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, and of course his allies in the judicial branch, are working to turn Brazil into a dictatorship. In fact, some of them said Brazil already was a dictatorship. They pointed to the fact that the regime is literally imprisoning journalists, literally terrorizing, prosecuting, jailing members of Congress. Going against political, they actually took the head of the opposition couldn't even come because they took his passport. One of the congressmen down there, Congressman Jordy, really amazing. And folks, this is an issue that's close to my heart. I lived many years in Brazil. I love Brazil. I love the people of Brazil. It's quite unfortunate what's happening down there. It's very, very similar, unfortunately, to what's happening in the United States. Now, American lawmakers did express some pretty serious concerns about this. I want to show you a little bit. Actually, Representative Chris Smith, he's a Republican from New Jersey, was supposed to chair a hearing of the Subcommittee on Global Human Rights. That's part of the Foreign Affairs Committee, a very powerful committee. And Chairman Smith, as I understand, I was told by several of these congressmen and others that very, very high level pressure. I didn't get a name. I almost wonder if Lula himself called. Maybe it was one of his minions. But somebody called the Democrats, including the vice chair of this committee, and exerted some really serious pressure to make sure that this meeting would not happen, that this hearing would not happen. Now, Chris Smith did say that they're going to be doing it anyway. But that'll supposedly come in the next few weeks. But I want to share with you what he shared at this press conference. Since they couldn't do the hearing, they went outside the Capitol building in Washington and did a press conference. And Chris Smith really hit the nail on the head in terms of what is happening right now in Brazil. And I think you need to hear this. The fake media is doing a wonderful job of covering this up. Almost no coverage of this issue in the media, except for a handful of reliable outlets. But this is Chris Smith, Congressman, just talking a couple minutes outside of the Capitol about the horrors that are taking place in Brazil right now.
My name is Chris Smith. I'm a chairman of the Subcommittee on Global Human Rights, Global Health, and International Organizations of the Foreign Affairs Committee. Since late 2022, Brazilians have been subject to human rights violations committed by Brazilian officials on a very large scale. Documented or credibly reported rights violations in Brazil include the political abuse of legal procedures to persecute political opposition, including jailing opposition figures on spurious charges, violations of freedom of speech and media freedom, including persecution of journalists, the silencing of opposition media, the banning of individuals from social media, thinly veiled censorship laws claiming to fight so-called disinformation, and many violations of the rule of law and judicial malfeasance. As chairman of the Global Human Rights Committee, I am committed to supporting internationally recognized human rights in Brazil and to conducting oversight on the response of the U.S. government to these violations. I will chair a hearing on human rights abuse in my subcommittee in the coming weeks. What I see in Brazil today, above all, in the investigations of the Supreme Court Justice de Moraes, is called rule by law, the opposite of rule of law. Rule of law is supposed to put aside outside of politics so that the same laws apply equally to all people. rule by law, in contrast, means that while some forms and procedures of law are maintained, the law is used selectively as an instrument of political power. There is vast evidence that this is exactly what is going on in Brazil today, where investigations, inquiries, media bans, content removal orders are used to single out the opposition to President Lula. I am preparing legislation that will address these issues. We will call it the Brazil Democracy, Freedom, and Human Rights Act, and I hope to be introducing it very shortly.
Well, we'll leave it there, ladies and gentlemen. But that was Congressman Chris Smith. He has a track record of calling out some of the wild stuff happening in the United Nations. He's been very forceful about the abuses of the Communist Party of China. But we don't know exactly what this bill that he's talking about is going to look like. We know that Joe Biden is not going to sign it. Of course, Joe Biden and his predecessor and maybe his boss, Barack Obama, are huge fans of Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. This is a guy who's got a long Marxist track record, and we're going to share that with you. Now, in the interest of fairness, I did reach out to the Brazilian government. They sent me a statement about these accusations. You had, again, many members of Congress in Brazil who came to talk about what was going on. I spoke with several of them over the phone. Congressman Gustavo Gayer, he led the delegation. He is it's what they call their congressman deputy in the Chamber of Deputies. That's the lower house of the Brazilian Congress. And real nice guy. I mean, he loves freedom. And what he said to me is, first of all, the United States is following in a similar direction, unfortunately. But he also said this was going to impact the United States and the whole Western Hemisphere in a very, very significant way. In fact, he said that the immigration tsunami that we have seen over the last few years here under Joe Biden is going to get a whole lot worse. And he's almost certainly right. He actually said that Brazil was going to become the next Venezuela if these things were not stopped. A lot of other congressmen spoke out as well. Congressman Marcel Van Hattem, also Congressman Eduardo Bolsonaro, who we actually interviewed here for The New American just a few years ago. He's the son of former President Jair Bolsonaro. But a little bit of the background before I give you the Brazilian government's response. They basically rigged the election, just like Eduardo Bolsonaro told us they were going to do. I spoke with him at one of Mike Lindell's events in South Dakota. My colleague William Jasper also interviewed him. And he told us basically what they were going to do. He said they're using these electronic voting machines. They're going to use them to rig the Brazilian election. He walked us through the process. And of course, that's exactly what they did. And then they even replicated their own January 6th moment, right? They had provocateurs and agents stage a fake insurrection where they raided the Brazilian Congress, Parliament, and some of the other official government buildings. Almost exactly the same as what they did on January 6th in the United States. And then they went around ruthlessly rounding up the dissidents who may or may not have been involved. They put them in a giant camp, abused them, and several reported that they weren't even being fed or given water. Now, some of the congressmen who spoke and also the journalist Paulo Figueiredo, who was here, talked about some of this. But here's what the Brazilian government told me in response to these charges put out by this delegation of Brazilians who came to the United States. They said charges pressed, sentences, and arrests are related to the invasion of the presidential palace, the House of Congress, and the Supreme Court on January 8, 2023, according to the Brazilian law, and are strictly following due legal process. The same, by the way, is happening in the U.S. related to the invasion of the Capitol. Two democracies are defending themselves with their constitutions and their legal framework. And folks, of course, we know the United States is not a democracy. Brazil is actually also the Federative Republic of Brazil, based on rule of law, of course, rather than rule of men, rule of the majority. But notice, even the Brazilian government is talking about the parallels here. Hey, we're just doing what the Biden administration is doing, right? We're just defending our democracy within our legal framework. Now, I don't want to imply that the situation in the United States is as bad as it is in Brazil, right? As far as we know, they're not yet arresting congressmen. They have been persecuting journalists, although not quite as ruthlessly as the Brazilians. The censorship, same thing is going on there. But we're going to give you the background when we come back in the second segment, folks, because this has a long and sordid history that we've been covering at The New American, but almost nobody else has been. And I don't really think you can understand what's going on in Brazil today and the broader region, Latin America, without understanding this. So I'm Alex Newman. Stay with us. We're going to be right back after this quick break with more on Brazil and the deep state.
Sophia paused before the door. It read, Department of Bi-Digital Convergence. Just inside was a new world, a better world, the one of everlasting life, of no pain, of no loss, of no problem. She entered the chamber and her surroundings changed. She saw around her an infinite field of waving golden grain surmounted by cloudless blue sky. The AI voice whispered gently in her mind, "Welcome to the Singularity." She couldn't see it and couldn't feel it, but her body had almost instantly been covered by a swarm of tiny gray multi-legged bots that melted through her clothes and into her skin. Not perceiving the nightmare, her eyes had already been consumed and the rest of her body was dissolving as the bots digested her flesh. She felt only a warmth suffusing her being. Drowsy, she drifted to sleep, and her last thought was one of panic. Would she ever wake? Could a nightmare vision like this be an outcome of the much-hyped transhumanist technological singularity? Enter the world of the future as illuminated by the experience of the past in Endgame, the new book by Dennis Barrett, the publisher of The New American Magazine, and find out how the disastrous COVID pandemic response fits with the technocratic elite's thirst to create a transhumanist utopia. Get Endgame from shopjbs.org with free shipping with code ENDSHIP, ENDSHIP. Or get Endgame and the Great Reset Collector's Issue of The New American Magazine and get free shipping plus an additional 20% off both with code END20, END20.
Welcome back to Behind the Deep State. I'm your host, Alex Newman. Thanks so much for staying with us over that break, folks. And what's going on in Brazil is horrific. It's almost an exact parallel of what the Deep State is doing here in the United States. And none of this was a mystery. I mentioned in the previous segment that Congressman Eduardo Bolsonaro, the son of Jair Bolsonaro, who, by the way, got elected by the largest margin of any congressman in all of Brazilian history. And he was one of the guys sounding the alarm about these machines. So even though he was elected by a massive margin, he knew what was coming. I talked to him backstage on this. But I want you to listen to what he told us on camera here, because he was warning that they were going to rig the election before it even happened. So listen to this. This is, again, Eduardo Bolsonaro, Brazilian congressman, talking to us at The New American in 2021 in August.
Nowadays in Brazil, you vote in an electronic ballot box and you have to pray for the 10 or 20 bureaucrats that count your vote in a central, in a capital in Brasilia, should they don't change the things.
Yeah, you got to pray. And very unfortunate, folks. It's like they figured out that the strategy would be very successful in some countries. And so they said, well, let's just do the very same thing in Brazil. And that's exactly what they did do. Absolutely atrocious. I want to show you a little bit more from Eduardo Bolsonaro. He's a patriot. He loves his country. He loves Brazil. Of course, he's loyal to his dad as well. And here he is continuing in this interview with The New American.
There is an investigation under the federal police of Brazil, and they got documents from the electoral court, the Superior Electoral Court, admitting that they had a hacker inside of their systems from April until November of 2018. And we have to remark that our election in Brazil, the last one for president, happened in October of 2018. So this is a situation very hard to explain to the people how that the electoral court, they don't want more transparency in our elections.
Amazing, folks. Absolutely amazing. And of course, the parallels are so similar to what's going on here in the United States. Now, in Brazil, there's an added twist. They have this tyrannical head of the Supreme Electoral Tribunal. His name is Alexandre de Moraes. You just heard Congressman Chris Smith talk about this. And this guy's literally running around jailing people that he doesn't like. He's ordering people's passports confiscated. I may have mentioned they actually confiscated the passport of Jair Bolsonaro himself so that he could not leave the country. They've arrested a lot of his top people. And all of this is by design, right? What we're watching in Brazil is a communist revolution, very similar to what is going on in the United States. It's just been a little bit easier in Brazil than it has been here because they don't have the institutional foundation that the United States has had. So we'll see what happens with that. But a little bit of the background, folks, because we've been covering what's going on in Latin America for a long time. I grew up in Latin America. I have a soft spot for Latin America. But what's happening there that the fake media is not telling you about is an actual communist takeover of the whole region. And Lula is right at the center of it, right? Lula, the Marxist Brazilian president, the Workers Party, they call it. Not sure if there's any relation to the National Socialist Workers Party of Germany. But Lula actually created this very, very dangerous communist network with some others, including the communist dictator of Cuba, Fidel Castro, the mass murdering communist Sandinistas in Nicaragua, and even the Marxist narco-terrorist groups like the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, the FARC, the mass murdering narco-terrorists famous for bombing innocent civilians, famous for kidnapping children, famous for raping children. Just horrible, horrible, horrible atrocities that these people perpetrate. Now, we have documents actually showing back in 1997, they admitted in their own documents that they were hoping to rebuild in Latin America what they lost in Eastern Europe, which, of course, by that, they were referring to communism. Right? They were referring to the communist regimes that supposedly had collapsed back in the end of the Cold War when the Berlin Wall was coming down. Now, I interviewed Olavo de Carvalho. He was actually the top advisor to Jair Bolsonaro for years. And this was before that. This was years ago at the New American. Olavo passed away a few years ago. He was a philosopher, an anti-communist, and very, very active exposing these people. In fact, he gave me more insight into this communist network than probably anybody ever talked to. And the interview was so fascinating. We actually just published it in the New American word for word. You can find that in the archives. But he talks about this absurd surrender of the winners to the communists being stimulated by what he describes as powerful globalist circles who have an interest, he said, in establishing worldwide bureaucratic controls. And he said that these globalists, their interests converge with the interests and the objectives of the communists. He talks about these billionaire companies that are openly contributing to radical left-wing parties. He called them meta-capitalists because they're so wealthy, they're so powerful, they don't like anymore, he said, being subject to the free market. They just want to control everything and maintain themselves in power forever. He gave a number of examples of this. And again, this is an interview that happened about a decade ago. He said an event that clearly symbolizes this union of apparent adversaries, right? The meta-capitalists and the commies, the tributes, he says, paid to Lula, the Brazilian president. He was president at the time, and now he's president again. He went to jail for a brief time because he got caught basically looting the Brazilian taxpayers to fund revolution socialism in other countries. So he says Lula, the Brazilian president, was the same week honored by the World Economic Forum in Davos and by the Sao Paulo Forum for his allegiance to communism. So the contradiction, he says, is only apparent at the World Social Forum in Porto Alegre, which for public opinion embodies the opposite of the Davos Forum. Their demand was for greater control over the world economy by international organizations like the IMF, like the World Bank, etc. So he says this ideological contrast serves only as propaganda. He says there's a gigantic symbiosis of all the globalist and statist forces around the world. And he gets into quite some depth on the Sao Paulo Forum. He actually explains that the headquarters of communism in Latin America is in Brazil. Those were his words. And this was like prophetic, right? Again, he's been gone for a few years. But he talks about this organization with membership that includes over 100 political parties, mostly communist and socialist parties, that govern almost all of Latin America today, with a handful of exceptions. Includes Marxist narco-terrorist groups like the FARC, like the MIR in Chile, and lots of other organizations as well. And he says they actually have a lot of support from within the United States. He points to the expert in Brazilian affairs at the Council on Foreign Relations at that time, Kenneth Maxwell, who apparently openly denied the existence of the Sao Paulo Forum, even though it was well known and well established and kind of out in the open that that's what they were doing. So, folks, this is real, right? I actually wrote a big article at the New American about another CFR official. Her name was Julia Swaig, and she was the director of Latin American Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations. And she was a groupie of Fidel Castro. Unbelievable, this kind of stuff. In fact, a very prominent anti-communist intelligence operative said that she might even be an agent of influence, if not a spy, for the brutal communist dictatorship in Cuba, the Castro regime. So, folks, this is very, very serious, right? The U.S. government knows all about this. In fact, a former U.S. ambassador published a piece in the Miami Herald about how the U.S. State Department knows all about this communist network, and yet they don't do anything. They won't even speak about it, much less do anything constructive to expose it or stop it. By the way, Julia Swaig, who I mentioned, was the CFR's Nelson and David Rockefeller Senior Fellow for Latin American Studies. She was very, very pro-Castro, very, very much in favor of this communist takeover. Just truly incredible, folks. So thanks for tuning in. Alex Newman here for Behind the Deep State. We sure appreciate you, folks. Be sure to subscribe over at thenewamerican.com to the print magazine, to the daily headlines. You can also get a lot of our shows over on all the podcasting platforms that go out by radio. And share this information, folks. Don't just sit on it. Don't just keep it to yourself. This is an international threat to humanity, to liberty, to family, to Christianity, to everything that is good and true. And what's happening in Brazil has global implications, folks. The emergence of the BRICS. And again, they are being supported by a fifth column in the United States of America. In fact, Joe Biden even brought Lula to the White House, folks. We're being betrayed, just like the Brazilians are being betrayed. Thanks again. Alex Zimmern here, Behind the Deep State. Go to thenewamerican.com. Until next time, God bless you all.
Here's the news, Dad.
Is it, son? Is it?
What about this one, Dad?
Nope. It's hard to tell what's real and what's fake these days. There's just too much baloney out there. At the New American, they cut through the baloney and give me the truth.
The truth is hard to find, but the New American has it. Check it out at thenewamerican.com.